MSPR Mountain Edition.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 69 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
It's a little different than like if you break into a post office downtown, but yeah, still a serious crime. These are all felonies.
Moorhead State University police are investigating a burglary on campus.
Cleanup in Maysville is ongoing after July 23rd's flooding.
Owsley County now has a needle exchange program.
In sports, the Reds are in Pittsburgh tonight to continue a series with the Pirates.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Moorhead, Rowan, and Bath counties are under a flash flood advisory. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Moorhead State University's post office and several other offices were broken into early Wednesday morning. Authorities say several $1,000 in damage was done to property and many items of worth and cash were stolen. MSU Police Chief Merrill Harrison says he believes the break-in was motivated by drugs.
It happens everywhere. If somebody sees an opportunity and is desperate enough, they'll take the risk to try to get some stuff, to try to get them some money, and we're not immune to that here either. Now, we don't have a tremendous amount of burglaries and thefts or things like that, but this is a pretty hard-hitting one for us here.
Anyone with information about the break-in is encouraged to call the MSU Police Department at 783-2035.
Bath, Fleming, and Rowan counties are under a flash flood advisory until 5 p.m. this evening. The National Weather Service in Jackson issued an urban and small stream flood advisory around 3 p.m. after Doppler radar indicated heavy rain due to thunderstorms. Some locations that may experience flooding include Cranston, Ramey, Munson, Wyoming, Moores Ferry, Triplett, Hilda, Ringo's Mills, Sharkey, Muses Mills, Hayes Crossing, Grange City, Plumbers Landing, Waltz, and Oakley. Drivers who encounter high water are encouraged to turn around. Most flood deaths occur in vehicles.
Attorney General Andy Beshear is taking a Central Kentucky car dealership to court for allegedly defrauding more than 1,400 people. WKYT reports customers of Auto Plaza USA in Nicholasville have been filing complaints since May, saying the Department of Revenue billed them for unpaid title taxes that they thought had already been paid.
The company represented to consumers, both verbally and through written contracts, that the sales price of their vehicle included all taxes owed. That is a representation that those buying a car received, but that was not the case. As a result, hundreds of consumers have received delinquent tax notices from the state.
Beshear says his office has received more than 100 such complaints from people who have been left owing a tax bill they already paid. The lawsuit seeks $465,000 from Auto Plaza USA to reimburse customers who paid extra taxes. It also asks for $685,000 to pay back an alleged $489 fee charged to all customers for the preparation of documents and services that the dealership did not correctly perform.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's getting ready to hit an important marker in its $10.3 million effort to renovate a segment of State Route 519 in Rowan County. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says as soon as crews can erect a new guardrail along the Clack Mountain end of the project, drivers going through that area will be switched onto the highway's new pavement.
That will happen probably end of this week or next week. It just depends on how well the guardrail installation goes. But that will be a significant milestone for that project. And, you know, we just want to warn people traveling in that area that within the next week and a half, they will see some changes in the traffic pattern. So just watch for that. It will be different.
The 519 project began a year and a half ago. When completed, the section of the highway between Clack Mountain to Kentucky 801 will be completely upgraded.
The executive director of the Moorhead-Rowan Economic Development Council thinks the county has a pretty good shot at landing a supplier plant for the new Brady Industries high-tech aluminum mill in Greenup County. According to Bob Helton, Brady CEO Craig Bouchard is well aware of the county's assets, which include its proximity to Interstate 64, Moorhead State University's Space Science Center, and the Center for Advanced Manufacturing, which will open later this year as part of the new Rowan Campus Center for Maysville Community and Technical College.
When we talk with prospects in that line and with the activity in aviation and aerospace these days, there are a lot of companies looking and thinking, and when I bring up the topic of the research at Space Science Center, as well as the advanced manufacturing curriculum at the technical college, it really draws some attention.
Brady Industries announced in April that it will build a $1.3 billion facility in South Shore by 2020. The company plans to also locate about a dozen plants around the region that will act as suppliers for the new mill.
Maysville's mayor says his city is still recovering from last week's flooding, which damaged infrastructure and left some people without a home. David Cartmell says the cleanup effort started July 23rd.
The state and the transportation cabinet, of course, have been wonderful in straightening out everything. I mean, they have been cleaning the culverts out on Kentucky, on the Fleming Road, Kentucky Highway 11, and they've done a wonderful job with it. But, I mean, there's just so, you know, we have people that lost their homes, and that's what we're dealing with right now.
Cartmell says the city has not yet shared a damage estimate with Frankfort because Maysville residents and business owners are still discovering damages from the flood. He expects to turn in that report tomorrow.
A new 911 funding fee is still being decided on by the Boyd County Fiscal Court. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the court is meeting again next week to decide on the fee because they couldn't reach an agreement Tuesday. If the proposed $35 fee per property address is approved, it would be mailed out with property tax bills this fall. Landline subscribers in Boyd County would still be required to pay a 17% surcharge on monthly bills, as well as the fee. It would also mean residents would only pay for their property that has an address. The fiscal court will meet again next week in Catlettsburg to further discuss the matter. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Owsley County now has a needle exchange program. Officials with the county's health department say it's part of an effort to combat the spread of blood-borne diseases such as HIV or hepatitis B. Matt Carrico is a local pharmacist. He spoke to WYMT.
Some people might say encourages bad behavior, but we say it encourages safe behavior. It's people are going to use dirty needles if you don't get them clean ones. People that come to these needle exchange programs are more likely to seek help.
Those who participate in the program will be given up to 30 needles during their first visit. After that, they'll have to exchange needle for needle. The program allows users to remain anonymous.
A Moorhead State official says the $49 million project to renovate and expand the Adrian Doran University Center is 50% finished. Rick Linio is MSU's Assistant Vice President for Facilities Management. According to Linio, crews are still on track to have the facility completely done by August or September of next year.
They're progressing. I mean, it's, you know, the weather's been cooperating, knock on wood, and, you know, a few hiccups here and there. But anytime you have a construction of that size, you're going to have a few challenges. But good contractor working through it, very steady. We're pleased with how we're moving that project forward.
Along with completely redoing the Doran Center's interior and exterior, a 53,000-square-foot addition is being constructed on the structure's east side. Once finished, the building will, among other things, house all of MSU's student services, along with a brand-new pub.
Workers installing the new turf field at Rowan County Senior High School's football field are putting in some overtime. With several days of rain in June and July, the project is currently behind by 3 weeks. District Superintendent Marvin Moore says the contractor has asked to use the lights at the stadium to keep his guys on the job after the sun sets.
They'll be working probably around the clock. They said it takes 3 weeks for the installation of the turf. And, of course, then we got to pave the, redo the track. And then we're going to put new fence around the front of the bleachers. And we've got a lot of little things that we want to do and get ready for the first home game.
The Rowland football team's first home game is September 1st against Mason County. If the turf isn't ready on time, district officials have arranged to use Morehead State University's Jane Stadium for the contest.
The state's hiring of a new Department of Education official puts Kentucky one step closer to introducing charter schools. WUKY's Josh James has the details.
Earl Sims oversaw the Office of Charter Schools with the University of Missouri for 9 years. His next stop will be Kentucky's newly created Division of Charter Schools. The Lexington Herald Leader reports in his previous role, Sims helped monitor the compliance and performance of charters serving about 4,000 students. Charter school regulations are slated to receive a first reading Wednesday in Frankfurt, with an eye toward final approval in January. Sims starts work on August 16th with a salary of $90,000. The General Assembly passed legislation allowing charter schools for the first time in the Commonwealth during the 2017 regular session. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
There is more controversy literally flying over the mansion of Kentucky's governor. Governor Matt Bevin claims local television stations used drones during a walk through his property by the Jefferson County Board of Assessment Appeals. The visit was completed Tuesday afternoon, and members of the media were excluded from attending. The board claimed the assessment was excluded from open meeting laws. Bevin says the drones were capturing his children playing outside.
And they're flying around capturing film of my family and of my vehicles coming and going and flying literally so you could look in the windows.
The Board of Assessment Appeals has not released any further details about future meetings on the House. If Bevin isn't satisfied with the board's decision, he can appeal to the Kentucky Claims Commission, which consists of 3 members appointed by Bevin.
Kentucky State Fair officials want to make the experience more convenient by moving to the 21st century. When it comes to traffic, Louisville Metro Police Lieutenant Joe Seeley says there will be upwards of 40 traffic officers on site to help ease the flow.
For Thursday and Friday, we used 30 officers each day, and then on the Saturday and Sunday, we used 40 officers each day and ran those details from 8 in the morning till the fair close.
The Kentucky State Fair runs from August 17th to the 27th. New Kentucky State Fair app is currently available for download and will help fairgoers do everything from finding parking to locating where you currently are on an interactive map. Fair officials say since the app went live, it has been downloaded thousands of times.
Senator Mitch McConnell spoke on the Senate floor today regarding the need for tax reform. The Senate Majority Leader says the time has come to create a tax system that works for the people instead of against them. McConnell says the Senate has undertaken, quote, the most ambitious regulatory rollback since Reagan.
We've pursued policies that can once again encourage job growth and American investment. And just last week, the administration and congressional leaders, and most importantly, the chairman of the Senate Finance and House Ways and Means Committees, issued a joint statement outlining shared principles for unleashing the American economy through comprehensive tax reform.
McConnell called for bipartisan support of tax reform and asked his fellow senators to focus on economic growth. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, there is a flash flood warning in effect for Bath, Fleming, and Rowan counties until 5 p.m. That's another 15 minutes or so. Tonight, an 80% chance of thunderstorms will see lows around 64 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows around 67. On Friday, an 80% chance of thunderstorms again, highs around 81. That night, an 80% chance of storms continuing, tapering off overnight, with lows around 57. And on Saturday, sunny skies, highs in the upper 70s. It's currently 85 degrees in Ashland, 71 right now in Flemingsburg, 85 in Inez, 74 in Winchester, 71 in Lexington. And right after the rain here in Moorhead, we're at 69 degrees.
On our feature segment this afternoon, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, we hear the first of a three-part conversation with Dr. Ahmed Hassan, a native of Egypt. Today, he describes his childhood, beginning with his American experience with learning English and how he cherishes the freedoms of life in the United States.
I was born in Alexandria, Egypt. My mother was a teacher. My father was an accountant. Received my education like any normal child. Used to spend my entire summer by the beaches of Alexandria, enjoying the sun, fishing, swimming, playing with other kids. It was a very happy childhood. This is one of the things that I miss a lot, the beaches and the sun and the sand of the Mediterranean. It is sometimes painful, and this is what urged me to try to visit as frequently as I could to Alexandria. 25 years there before I moved to America. I came in January 1996. I was in Louisiana Tech. The first two semesters were very challenging, very rough. I never spoke English for 25, 26 years. In the classroom, I struggled.
Did you feel isolated?
Well, not necessarily. There is always those who would extend their hands and try to help. And this is what happened in Louisiana. I received my PhD in business administration and in strategic management in 2003. I was offered a job here in Moorhead State University as an assistant professor in management. I've been here in Moorhead for 14 years. I teach different courses in management.
Being in Moorhead is very different from where you grew up.
I've been raised in a very big city. It's right now, I would say, around 7 million or so. Very busy, very crowded, 24/7 life. I wouldn't say necessarily that people there are as friendly as people here in Moorhead. Here, even if you don't know somebody, still you say hi and you smile. We got our second daughter in 2005. She is right now sixth grade. Our oldest one, Dina, she's in the pre-pharmacy program here in biology in Moorhead State
right.
University.
Yeah.
And my wife teaching here in Moorhead State in management too since 2005.
Your daughters are bilingual.
Yes.
Do you speak Arabic at home?
Exactly.
Or a mixture?
Yeah, when they communicate with each other, typically they do it in English. They do not unfortunately.
They're American kids,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
But
I would say that they feel more comfortable communicating in English than Arabic, which is something we can understand.
You both became citizens
in 2010. Yes.
Yeah,
it was turning point for us. One of the things that we enjoy that we never enjoyed before is the freedom to express yourself, voice your concerns freely without fear. We came from a very suppressive political system that it is very hard to openly express your views.
Because you feel threatened.
Very threatened. I mean, this is one of the things that I tend to think that people here, they do not appreciate quite honestly. I cannot tell you how much happiness we have when we go and cast our vote. And we like to, at every voting occasion here, even if we felt that it will not make any difference. It makes a difference emotionally to us. It is a very precious gift.
Thank you very much and talking to me today.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving me the chance to do so.
Join us next Wednesday for Neighbors with Adrian Swain when Dr. Hassan corrects some widely held misconceptions about Islam. It's 449 and 72 degrees here in Moorhead. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting selected works by Bruce New, The Night is Only a Dream. On display through September 16th, the exhibition features more than 60 collages, drawings, and paintings by the Somerset artist. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University. Located on First Street, adjacent to the Morehead Conference Center, visitors and tour groups are welcome. More information available by calling 606-783-2204.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. After opening a three-game series in Pittsburgh with a 9-1 rout of the Pirates last night, the Cincinnati Reds will be looking to knock them off again at 7:05 in the Steel City. A three-run homer by Billy Hamilton and solo shots by Eugenio Suarez and rookie Jesse Winker backed a strong effort on the mound by Homer Bailey in the opener. Bailey, who struggled since his return from arm surgery this season, improved to 3-5 this year by allowing just one run and four hits over six innings of work. Manager Brian Price says he liked what he saw from the veteran right-hander.
He kind of got into the flow of the game and ended up giving us six really valuable innings, especially the first of 20 straight games to pitch six full, give us an opportunity to really get out there and extend the lead was big for us, and even more importantly that he kind of got on top of his game. He looked like vintage Homer more so than a guy that was trying to find his way.
Still looking for his first win of the year, 0-4 rookie Robert Stevenson pitches tonight for Cincinnati. The Pirates will go with 4-4 Trevor Williams. Some afternoon scores from around the MLB. The Blue Jays lead the White Sox 2-1 in the 8th inning. Detroit leads the Yankees 2-0 in the 7th. And the Twins lead the Padres 4-0 in the 4th inning. One other note from the Major Leagues, the Philadelphia Phillies announced today that Pete Rose will not take part in the team's alumni weekend. After Rose acknowledged this week that he had a sexual relationship with a woman in the 1970s, that Rose claims was 16 years old. The female is claiming that she was 14 or 15. Rose was 34 years old at the time of the relationship. Round County High School has started its search for a new baseball coach. Vikings need to replace Keith Prater. The team's beloved skipper died in mid-July after a battle with leukemia. Ray Ginter is the school's principal.
It's a tough situation to move forward with something like that, but you have to for the kid's situation. So we called Misty, Keith's wife, and more or less asked her permission to go ahead and start searching. And, of course, she's willing, and, she wants the best for the kids, too.
Prater led the Vikings to the 16th region title last season. The school will accept resumes for a few more days before starting interviews. The hope is to have a new baseball coach hired within the next week or so. With the Morehead State football team now into its training camp, head coach Rob Tenier can begin the task of choosing a starting quarterback for the Eagles. He says senior Jack Sherry and junior Lawson Page are the lead contenders for the job.
They're a little different as far as, body types, mobility, escapability, and even throwing the football. So we've got to evaluate those things and make a decision on what gives us the best chance to be successful.
Sherry backed up record-setting starter Austin Gayhafer for the past few seasons. A strong runner, Page last season was the Eagles quarterback in their Wildcat formation. There's a different sort of atmosphere around Kentucky's preseason workouts this year, and after a 7-win campaign in 2016, senior quarterback Steven Johnson says he knows what it is.
Just the main thing is confidence, I think. We know the plays that we have going into it, and we know what we can do. Before we started our team period today, I just brought the offense together and told them we can only stop ourselves, and we really believe that. So I think that's the main difference.
Johnson starts UK's camp as the Wildcats' number one quarterback. The Big Blue season begins on September the 2nd at Southern Mississippi. Linebacker Kevin Minter is excited about being a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. After four seasons with Arizona, the 6-foot, 245-pound Minter joined the Bengals in the offseason as a free agent. He's happy about getting the chance to play alongside Vontaze Burfict on the inside of the team's linebacking corps.
He's everything I thought he was, a leader. He demands a lot of his defense, and I'm just happy to be here to be able to play with him.
Burfict was involved in a brawl at the Bengals training camp yesterday after hitting running back Gio Bernard in the knees during a drill. Coming off of knee surgery, Bernard did not take exception to the play. Finally in sports, the Round County football team is well into its preseason practices as they gear up for the 2017 season. That's just 16 days away. First-year head coach Kelly Ford says he likes where his team is at this point.
Things are going pretty well. Yesterday we had our first day of live contact. We're 6 days out from our first scrimmage, and it's kind of the first time you get to go around and hit and fly around, and It's really exciting that to see the kids having fun, and it makes practice a whole lot exciting when you know when you're going out full gear.
As Ford mentioned, the Vikings are just 6 practice days away from scrimmaging Nicholas County in the EKC Gridorama in Flemingsburg next Friday. Round visits Morgan County on August the 18th to get the 2017 season officially underway. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. The Dow Jones Industrial Average notched another milestone, breaking above 22,000 for the first time. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 52.32, finishing at 22,016.24. And, of course, that is an all-time closing record. The S&P 500 was up 1.22 at 2477.57, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 0.29 at 6362.65. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17-11 in favor of losing stocks over winners, so the broader market not as strong. Much of the strength in the Dow Jones average came from Apple, as the stock was up almost 5% after posting quarterly results that blew expectations out of the water. And the company reported earnings per share of $1.67 on revenue of $45.4 billion. Going into the report, most analysts expected earnings to be $1.57 on revenue of $44.89 billion. Wall Street also set its sights on key economic data, and today the private U.S., the ADP report showed that private U.S. companies added 178,000 jobs last month. This was a bit less than expected because going into the report, economists expected an increase of 185,000 jobs. And, of course, the all-important governmental report on payroll growth in July will come out on Friday at 8:30. U.S. Treasury yields traded mixed, with the benchmark 10-year yield hovering near 2.267% and the 2-year yield around 1.36%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.7%, finishing at $49.49 a barrel. Gold was down 0.5% at $1,272.80 an ounce. In Europe, markets fell, with the Stock 600 index down 0.4%. In Asia, markets were mostly higher, with the Nikkei up 0.5% and the Hang Seng up about 0.25%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.44 at $63.38, AEP up $0.31 at $70.93, CSX down $0.46 at $48.14, AK Steel down $0.04 at $5.35, Marathon Petroleum down $0.32 at $56.21, and Anthem was up $2.30 to finish at $188.97. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education collaboration and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at morehedstate.edu/innovation.
Time now for another quick look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. There is a flash flood warning in effect for Bath, Fleming, and Rowan counties that should be wrapping up about now. Tonight we'll see an 80% chance of thunderstorms continuing, lows around 64 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be partly cloudy with highs in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night partly cloudy, lows around 67. On Friday, an 80% chance of thunderstorms returning, highs around 81. It is currently 69 degrees in Morehead.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Paul Hitchcock, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, and Chaz Jenkins. From WUKY, Josh James, and Morehead's own Adrian Swain. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For Morehead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.